Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're live at the Houston Sports Awards, downtown Houston, the Hilton Americas, right next to Toyota Center, in between Toyota Center, the George R. Brown, right next to Discovery Green. Great day. My name's Sean Pendergast alongside Clint Sterner as we... if you're coming out here tonight, get you ready for the Houston Sports Awards. But if you're just tuning in along the way, we are going to make you feel good about the Houston sports scene. I think we need a little bit of that sprinkled into our lives these last few days, Clint. This will be a night where we actually walk out feeling really good about things going on in this town sports-wise.
A little feel good never hurts. That's man. Right. Come on, it's time. We've been drugged through the mud enough. It's time to acknowledge some of the greats and literally how great the scene is here in Houston across the board.
No doubt. All right, so speaking of greats, Tom Brady, he's great.
Yeah.
Maybe the greatest of all time. He is at least making intimations that he might not be back in New England next year. Before we get into this little exercise here, do you think Tom Brady is going to be playing anywhere other than the New England Patriots next year?
I do not think that he's going to play his last snap of football in his career with anybody other than New England. I do not believe that he's going to throw a pick six on his last pass attempt in pro football.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, brother. I think that seems like a very elementary thing considering how many championships the guy has and what all he's done in his career. But I guarantee you that keeps him up at night.
Brady strikes me as somebody who, if he were planning on retiring, would change his plans because of the last pass being a pick six.
No doubt. There is no doubt about it.
Exactly.
I'm not going out like
right.
that.
He would have announced it like 3 weeks before that. Like, I'm retiring. That's going to be whatever the last game is, that's going to be my last game, win or lose.
Sean,
and they're like, and then he'd unretire. And they'd be like, you said win or lose. Yeah, but I didn't say throwing a pick six to my former teammate the last play.
It's very difficult to sell the fact that it was borderline criminal, the athletes that you were surrounded by and what management did to you. It's hard to sell that fact when they go, your last pass attempt was a pick six, but it didn't matter who you were throwing to. So, I think he's back, baby.
All right, so let's pretend for a second New England doesn't want him back.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't quit. We fire you. So he's got to find another team. I have found seven teams that I think are anywhere from a great fit to a long shot. Seven, because let's face it. Most teams around the league have their quarterback. And I'm not saying the quarterbacks they have are better than Tom Brady, but Cleveland is married to Baker Mayfield right now. They're going to roll with him and see what happens.
They've all got a plan, and they're not going to interrupt that plan or disrupt that plan with a 42-year-old quarterback, even though he does have enough rings for two hands.
Correct.
I mean, it's not in the plans.
Right.
But I understand. Go ahead.
Right. Okay, so these are the teams I think are a great fit. The Los Angeles Chargers, who will not have Philip Rivers next year. He and his wife have packed up with their 38 kids, and they moved across country to the state of Florida recently. That seems to indicate to me he's not going to be back with the Chargers next year.
Fair enough.
Yeah, pretty good detective work by me right
there. Yes.
Let's see, he's not living in California anymore.
He moved.
And he has 10 kids, and he moved them all to Florida.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be back.
When your cheapest mode of travel is private jet because you got so many kids, you probably ain't coming back.
What do you think about the Chargers as a place for Tom Brady?
I don't like it. And here's why. I think they've had their fair share of old quarterbacks, Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame type of quarterbacks, quarterbacks that aren't mobile. I think the Chargers are a team, Sean, that I think the next time we lay eyes on them have done a 180 relative to scheme. I think they go in a direction of a more college-esque type scheme with a mobile quarterback moving around.
Wow, do you think, could that be a home for Tua? They pick sixth.
Man, I don't know. I'm not sold on Tua being a top five guy. I'm just not. So I'm anxious to see.
I know they pick sixth.
Yeah, well, sixth. Okay, see, top ten guy. I'm not sold that these teams aren't going to fall in love with Herbert and his size and his arm strength. And I really like the Love kid out of Utah State. When you watch him spin it, man, it's impressive. And so I'm just not sure that Tua is going to separate himself come time. I mean, that would be a good one, though. I mean, I think, you know, where I see New England making a strong push to be in play
for one of these
to get a shot at one of these quarterbacks, particularly Tua.
Yeah. Well, it helps that they lost in the divisional round because they lost in the wild card round because that means they're picking higher than they're normally used to picking. This is a team that's been in the AFC Championship game for virtually the entire decade. So they're picking a little high. It's not like they're picking 10th or anything, but they're at least picking at a spot where it's easier to move up from. Teams have moved up from the low 20s to get into position to do that before. All right, so you say no to the Chargers. All right, my next one that I think is a good fit, the Chicago Bears.
Ooh, man, now that one's
now this would be a team going away from a young quarterback that they drafted.
Yeah, that would be interesting to me. It's a great fit outdoors. Rough weather, he's used to that. It's not a problem.
Now, Seth said today that maybe Brady might not want to play in rough weather because he's like, screw this, I'm 43.
Yeah.
Put me in a dome. Put me somewhere warm.
That's big Seth at 42, 43 thinking, like, give me somewhere where the weather doesn't beat on me. I don't know, Sean. I'm not sold that Nagy is the right guy. Obviously had a hell of a run that first year, but has dealt with some serious adversity since. I would say no go in Chicago.
No go in Chicago. Seth Payne agrees with you. All right. We're going through seven teams for Tom Brady. Seth this morning had one that he really, really liked. We have not gotten to it yet. He agrees with you on both of these. Indianapolis Colts. They've got a ton of cap space. So theoretically, Brady could maybe have some input on how they use that cap space
indoor
to go get some things. It's indoors. It's a winnable division, right?
Star receiver.
He's got T.Y. Hilton there.
Great run game. Boy, you're going to have a hard time
good,
not convincing
good
me.
Good GM, good head coach.
Yes, Frank, former quarterback, gets it. Ooh. Indy's in play. I'll tell you this. Indy's in play for me right now. I got to hear the other ones.
Indy's in play. All right. Those are the three I qualify as great fits. These two, I think, are decent fits. The Las Vegas Raiders. Brady was spotted talking to Mark Davis, I think, at the UFC event over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Las Vegas Raiders with John Gruden.
I think it's the off-the-field stuff piques my interest. New franchise. You know, Brady has shown the ability somehow, some way in New England to have very lucrative deals off the field, obviously, and with his – with his celebrity wife, God, that would be a good fit. I'm gonna say no. I think Gruden wants a younger, sexier quarterback to build over 10 years with. I don't think he's gonna waste year three for him for Gruden.
Yeah,
out there.
Year three. Yeah.
I don't think Gruden's gonna take year three of a 10-year deal and go with an old head like that at the end of the rope. So I'm gonna go no in Vegas.
Yeah, Seth thought that Brady would murder Gruden by the second week of training
camp. Yeah, Gruden definitely ain't going to talk to Brady the way that he talked to Sims back in the day, that's for sure.
All right, my other decent fit, Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians, who's had success with an older quarterback. Weapons,
Coach.
Probably the best weapons of any of the seven teams that I'm going to name for you. A defense that was pretty good last year, actually, and they won seven games with Jameis throwing 30 picks.
Yes.
If you had a quarterback who threw six picks instead of 30 picks, how many wins is that worth?
Oh, hey, look, that team right there, healthy. That football team right there is making a playoff run. Healthy. I mean, they got some holes in the secondary that they've got to patch up, I think. I don't know.
Even with Jameis, or are you talking about with
Brady? No, not with Jameis. You can't turn the football over at that rate right there. I don't give a damn how good you are.
Yeah, yeah.
But you get Brady in there with those weapons. Bruce Arians is an absolute monster. I love Bruce Arians from a coaching standpoint, and not just schematically, but dealing with the quarterback and having that relationship. I like Tampa more than I do Indy, actually.
So did Seth Payne. That was the one. Tampa was the one he was like, ooh, I'm kind of hot on this one. I don't think he expected to be.
I tried to guess the teams that you were going to pick, and Tampa was not on the list. But when you say it, I'm telling you, that's I think Brady.
Imagine Brady and Breed in the same division.
Oh, my God.
How fun would
nasty,
that be twice
it?
A year?
Hey, but the thing, the hot button right now with Brady is no doubt about it, the fact that he was not surrounded with any talent. Yeah. I mean, he's always done more with less, but when you give that guy, when less is what you saw from that offense this year, I mean, I'm serious, man. He should be pissed off. I'm not usually one to say that a quarterback, you should just go to war with who you got, go to battle with who you got. Brady should be questioning what in the hell Belichick and Kraft and them boys were doing. And Caserio and all them guys, what in the hell were they doing thinking they could win with that group? So I think that's a hot button. And them Tampa Bay receivers, they're nice. So, yeah, I like Tampa.
Just to close out the topic, because I said there's seven teams, I had two long shots on the board. Dallas.
The abnormal, and I'm going to ask Jerry about this later. They're married to Kellen Moore. And they're married to Dak Prescott. And I like Dak. I mean, I love Dak.
I do, too. It's just something that's sexy and noteworthy and publicity-worthy.
And Jerry's just crazy enough to try to pull it off and bring in the GOAT and sell enough tickets and sell some jerseys and that kind of thing to make it worth your while. Whether you win or not is irrelevant. You're going to be the primetime game. Not that you're not already in that conversation. You bring Brady in and you jump to as many open primetime games. You talk about what they call it earlier, flexing the schedule.
Yeah.
They'll start flexing the hell out of that schedule with the Cowboys for sure. But no, I just.
And Dak immediately becomes the number one free agent on the market, right?
Yeah.
If they do that.
No doubt.
Yeah. I don't think so either, but that's why it's a long shot. The other long shot, which makes a little more sense, I think, Tennessee. You know, yeah. Mike Vrabel, his former teammate, is the head coach there. It's a good team. They've got pieces. They made the AFC Championship game. I don't think Tannehill's in for longer than 2 or 3 years at the most in Tennessee, which is what Brady would be in for. Would you rather have Brady at age 43 for a couple of years or Ryan Tannehill for a couple of years?
Oh, man. You know – and what they asked their quarterback to do there, Tannehill moves around. Obviously, from an intangible standpoint, you would love to have Brady in that locker room to move things. But obviously, they're doing good things in that category because they just went to the championship game. I'm out on Tennessee. On Tennessee as Brady.
A long shot.
I would go Tampa, Indy, and then my long shot or wild card would be Dallas simply for what you said of just I do believe that star being the lead story on TV means a lot more to Jerry than it does most owners.
Yeah.
And Jerry there's no telling, man.
Yep. All right. Up next, as we continue live from the Houston Sports Awards, Sean Pendergast alongside Clint Sterner. The news around the Texans, do we think that they're going to wind up with a general manager, a good general manager? I think Clint Sterner wonders if they get a general manager, does it even matter? We'll talk about that next. Sean Pendergast alongside Clint Sterner. We're live at the Houston Sports Awards, the calm before the storm. Looks beautiful up here, man. If you're coming out to the Houston Sports Awards night tonight, you're going to be very impressed, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not, then you're not living right.
That's right.
I don't know how you were brought up, how you were raised
That's
up.
That's on
but
you.
If you can't appreciate this here, Sean Pendergast, something's wrong with you.
That's right. That's right. So we should have some guests along the way. We're going to be probably pretty guest-heavy the back end of the show. So when people start to show up and the red carpet is going on and they'll bring some folks by here. So we'll get a chance to talk to some folks, including the Hall of Famers, Rudy T and Mary Lou Retton and Carl Lewis. Did a little video watching today of the old Olympic exploits of the latter two right there, Carl Lewis and Mary Lou Retton. I forgot about her back-to-back perfect tens on the vault.
Yeah.
Clinched the all-around. Forgot about that moment.
That's impressive.
It's a hell of a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool. I think about that all the time with the Olympics. Like when these guys, especially sprinters and people who are in these very short kind of burst type events where the whole event is like 15 seconds or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, man, these things only come along every 4 years. Like, I wonder how much they're intimidated by the scarcity of the Olympics.
Yeah.
If I screw this up, there's not going to be another one of these for 4 years.
How about Carl Lewis qualified for the 80 Olympics and then boycotted?
Yeah.
And he didn't get – I mean, how about that? I mean, it's one thing – how about going and false starting and getting DQ'd or something? I mean, good gosh. Yeah, I've always wondered how and now this was – when I was younger, I didn't realize that there were world championships in between, and there's a lot of going zones in between the 4 years of Olympics, obviously, in their respective sports.
Sure.
But, man, that's a lot of training for – That's a lot of training for one moment and sometimes just one stretch of the track.
Well, and as we learned, the Olympics are where the marketing cheddar is. That's what we learned from the 84 Olympics. Mary Lou Retton became a product spokesperson extraordinaire. She was the first woman on the cover of the Wheaties box. So I do wonder now, you look back to 1980, I don't know who the athletes were that were on all those teams that boycotted.
Yeah.
But if they look back at it now, that was the 80s. It was about the time that sports marketing was really kind of burgeoning and bubbling up. By the mid-80s, it was off the chain because of Jordan and Nike and everything else. But I do wonder if some of those 1980 athletes who the Olympic was boycotted, they didn't get a chance to win Olympic gold, if some of them are like, man, I would have been, you know, like I could be on the speaking circuit now making 50 grand a speech.
Yeah, look, that's one thing I'm anxious to ask all of the Olympians particularly is, you know, how did that one moment change your life? I mean, which we all see it and we know, like you just rattled off the Mary Lou Retton, you know, spokesperson, I guess, I mean, God, there's no telling how much she made when that.
She still speaks for companies today.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, obviously it
Let's
changed your
her.
Life. I'm just curious.
How much have you made? I'm joking. Can you imagine? We should ask her.
Well, I'm interested to know,
hey,
like,
how it changed. Hey, says you're worth. Let's see what it says she's worth here. Mary Lou Retton.
The fact that
you keep
know,
talking.
The fact that
you,
the fact that you know how to pull that kind of thing up right there scares me.
Yeah, I always just check to make sure I'm still a negative number. You know, it's like checking your credit score. I check networth.com.
Yes.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. They'll be by a little bit later on, and we will talk to all of them. Rudy T, Mary Lou Retton, Carl Lewis. We expect some of the quarterbacks to come by.
You know what? I even talked about the Olympic. I mean, Rudy T won a gold with the basketball team, right? He coached the basketball team.
He coached the basketball team, yeah. So it has an Olympic flavor to it.
So they've all got Olympic ties and had big-time success in the Olympics. That's cool.
According to Celebrity Net Worth, Mary Lou Retton worth an estimated – do you want to take a guess?
Golly.
It's surprisingly – I was surprised that the number wasn't higher. $8 million.
Ooh, I was going to say 6.5.
Oh, okay. So you it actually came in a little higher than what you thought.
Yeah, no doubt. I would have – Ooh,
I just figure all these years for speaking for products, you know.
That's making a run, brother.
$8 million is a lot of money.
I could live a long time off of eight now.
Oh, you got that right. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
In a really fun fashion,
too. I wouldn't be sitting here with you today, that's for sure.
I would be sitting with you somewhere, just not here.
Yeah, not here. All right, so the Texans, back to sports. The Texans, do we think that the Chris Olsen firing is the precursor to anything? Do we think that is a chess move that could lead to something bigger in the front office, i.e. a general manager? And does that even register with you, Clint Sterner?
No, I don't.
Do you care whether or not this team has a general manager or someone with the title general manager?
No, and I don't. I think that whether you're of the belief that the panel is making the decisions or Bill O'Brien has a heavy hand in all of the decisions, I think they've done a great job. I mean, I can't think of a position more immediate decisions that are impact decisions that need to be made in the future that are going to be any more, I guess, they're going to be any more effective or any more important to this program than the Laramie Tunsils, the Duke Johnsons, bringing in Steels being part of it. I mean, that was all done like boom, 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 last minute. Overnight, let's get this thing moved. And
none of them played a snap in training camp
right,
for this team.
Right, right. And then Carlos Hyde and the key contributors in this organization. I just don't know that you're going to need to make any other decisions. My point is, where does a GM come in and help that? If you can do that, then you're pretty damn solid.
Well, make no mistake. If a GM comes in and they've got say-so in personnel, I still think the buck's going to stop with Bill
yes.
O'Brien.
So what's the point,
but
right?
But their project, the main project from a personnel standpoint with this team is the defense, not the offense. I think they've got the parts on offense to be successful. They just need, as you've pointed out many times, they need to be better schematically. They need to get more out of the talent that they have. They've got one of the best young quarterbacks in the league.
Well, there's no doubt. I'm just not the GM question, the negotiator question, the defensive coordinator, even before Anthony Weaver became the defensive coordinator. To me, that doesn't move the needle. I mean, it's a great hire. I love it. The front office, do what you need to do. I think they've got a pretty good grip on what they're doing. They've had a lot of success as of late. They've built a great roster. They've got great culture. They're bringing in the right guys. I'm a firm believer in all that. But when you really look into it, Sean, to me, the only thing that matters is what they do at the offensive coordinator position for this football team.
What is the best piece of reasonable news the Texan fans could get and be really excited about over the next handful of weeks? That's how I think about this, because I do think the fans would like to see a general manager, because they would feel – I think people feel more comfortable sometimes with stuff that they know.
Sean, do you think that – I'm trying to get my crew back in Baytown. They could give a rip less who's negotiating and who the GM is.
Well, I think –
I mean, they could care less.
No, but I think they would feel – I think there's an uneasiness over the role, the massive power that Bill O'Brien has, the number of things he's doing.
Oh, yeah, and it's growing right now.
Right, the sheer volume of things that he's doing. I don't even care who it is.
Yeah.
I'm saying if they next week had a press conference and they announced some very competent, capable, up-and-coming person to be the general manager, I think that would make fans feel better, even if they don't really know what that person's role is.
Yeah, I can see that. I think
that's the answer to my question.
Sean, the needle mover is the offensive coordinator position.
Yeah. I think if there was an announcement that there was a new OC, or that Bill O'Brien made it clear that someone else was going to be calling plays, I think that would be something where fans would go, okay, I like this.
Absolutely.
This is good.
Absolutely. It would give fans hope. I think they're under the microscope with us, and particularly with me, when you're talking about the offensive side of the football and I'm watching the film, I'm really unfairly being critical, to be completely honest with you, but it's all I know. But when national media catches on to a narrative of Bill O'Brien's holding back Deshaun Watson, and that aligns with what I've seen on film, then I think you've got an elephant in the room. Instead of just me and you sitting here having a conversation about it, it's out there, man. That's a true concern, and that's what everybody's sitting around, whether it's the casual fan that watches just on Saturdays, Thursdays, Mondays, whenever, or it's the football head that's digging in. There's no hiding from the fact that they're having a tough time meshing Deshaun Watson's skill set with Bill O'Brien's scheme that he's coached his entire career. That is a real struggle, and it's holding this football team back.
This is just me kind of spitballing. I'm just like, I didn't put this as a topic in the rundown. It's just a question that popped into my head as we're sitting here talking about a mythical general manager that's probably not coming. what actually would get people going, okay, I feel really good about that. That makes me feel like Anthony Weaver. I like that because I think it's something different, and I think Weaver's a very capable guy, and I think he's smart, and I think if you give him the right pieces, I think he'll do well as a DC. What would be something, though, that would get people what would be something exhilarating? I do think some sort of announcement about a coaching change. I'm not saying fire O'Brien, but some sort of different structure on the offensive side that would indicate that it's going to be somebody's specific job to coach up Deshaun, draw up the plays, call the plays, and it's not going to be the same guy who's trying to coach the team and trying to general manage the team, that it's somebody specific. I think that's one. I think if this team made a move to trade up into the first round of the draft, I think that would get people pretty fired up. You know, if you traded your second and a third to move up into the, you know, to move up into the first, something like
and
that.
Get some help on defense, obviously.
Yeah, and go after an edge rusher or something like that. That would get people excited.
Yeah.
I think
when
free agency starts, if they come away with one of the big edge rushers, like if they set enough money aside and they get Yannick Ngakoue or somebody like that, or Shaq Barrett from Tampa Bay, guy like that, who's, you know, double-digit sack guy. Those are the three things that pop into my head.
Yeah, look, if they find a way to make this thing work and to where they can answer that problem on the defensive side of the football, I think the defensive side of the football is more about personnel. The offense is more about X's and O's and scheme. That's the way to wrap this thing up. You're right. If they could go find a way to make an aggressive move, which is one reason why I love Bill O'Brien in the quote-unquote panel in that GM role, is, man, these cats, they ain't scared to be aggressive.
Yeah.
They're not scared to just get out there and go make noise. I think they understand that even this coming year, we said it about this past season, this coming year, it's do or die. It's time to make a move. It's time to improve. And when you look at it, they went from the first round of the playoffs to the second round of the playoffs. I think there's a way you can say they improved, but there is huge room for improvement in a couple of areas specifically that you just mentioned.
Not one, but two insane reactions to the Astros sign-stealing scandal. We'll tell you what they are next. Sean Pendergast alongside Dirty Red, Clint Sterner, live at the Houston Sports Awards in downtown Houston, of all places, presented by Insperity. We're at the Hotel Americas right next to Toyota Center. The festivities on television will be getting started, I believe, at 7 o'clock tonight. That'll be when you can tune into AT&T Sportsnet and actually watch the event. If you're not going to be out here tonight, then you can watch on television live. Patty Smith told us a little earlier it's going to be on Channel 13 over the weekend as well, recorded. So a great event every year. This is the third time. It gets bigger and better every single year. Clint, there are two reactions. There have been a lot of reactions, obviously, to what the Astros got punished for last week, a little over a week ago now, that the Astros were punished by Major League Baseball for the sign stealing. Jim Crane went ahead and let Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch go. The search is ongoing for a manager and a general manager. It seems like the manager search is the more urgent of the two, what with pitchers and catchers reporting to camp in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But there have been reactions everywhere, and from opposing fan bases, obviously, the reactions have ranged from anger to ridicule to some humor mixed in, I guess. There are two particular reactions to the Astros sign stealing that I find to be a bit over the top, but I want to bounce them off you and just make sure that I'm not the crazy one here. Have you heard of a Dodgers fan group called Pantone 294?
I have not.
Okay. That, I think it's the Dodgers answer to the travel, you know, like the traveling Texans.
Sure.
The Texans have that group of fans.
Bills Mafia.
Bills Mafia. They traveled every game. They've got a Facebook page. They've got a website. They've got, you know, some sort of person who they've anointed the king of their pack, who is the point of contact on everything. And they travel in groups to go watch the Dodgers play. And I learned.
Sounds like a blast.
It would be fun, right? Yeah, I mean, to go follow your team, if you get the means to do it, why not? Pantone 294, I learned, is the color of blue in the Dodger uniform. That's
nice.
Where that comes from, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they intend to make a road trip not all that far next year. The Dodgers are going to make a road trip in the second week of the season to go watch the Angels play the Astros. So keep in mind, this is a Dodger fan group that's going to travel to a stadium where the Dodgers are not playing for the sole purpose of booing the Astros. Clint, where do you come out on a group of fans dropping hard-earned dollars and spending their entire weekend to go to a stadium to boo a team?
Look, Sean, I'm not a guy that could sit in the stands and boo the Texans and Bill O'Brien going in the tunnel as one guy did in a roundabout way. The booing, the dog cussing, the telling, you know, grown men screaming from a distance, insults. I can't.
It's not your deal?
It's not my deal at all, much less could I imagine getting involved in a group that the sole purpose is to go somewhere. You know what? I don't even like when I walk into a game and somebody has an opposing team's jersey on that's not playing. Like, that bothers me. So a group of individuals.
So, for example, if you were to go to, say, a Texans and Browns game and someone has a Packer jersey on.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, you do it around here. You go to a Texans game, there's a lot of people walking around with Cowboys jerseys on.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm just like, why? Like, you're just wanting to start. You're wanting to get trash talked to you the entire game. You're inviting issues to you. I can't understand why people do that. I think it's annoying as hell. So when you're talking about a group of individuals that's going to get together and go, I'm sure they're going to wear Pantone what?
Pantone 294. They're going to wear Dodger jerseys.
Yeah. Pantone 294. I'm sure they're going to have on Dodger jerseys and Dodgers wear and go in there and be completely disruptive in that situation. So it'll be effective. I guess that's one way to look at it.
The funny thing is there will be Astro fans at that game. You know, because the Astro fans, now that they're good, they travel pretty well too, especially to places that are desirable to go to. What place in April could be better to go to than Southern California? The weather's beautiful. You're probably going to win a few games because the Angels aren't very good.
Yeah.
So that to me is pretty cool. How amazing would that be if there wound up being a brawl in the stands at an Angels game between Dodger and Astro fans?
As long as the Astro fans, not me, I'm all in.
Dodger and Astro fans fighting in the stands.
Okay, Patty, I see
Angel
you, girl.
Game.
Go ahead, Patty.
Nice.
I see you.
And that was
20 minutes.
That was 20 minutes. Yeah.
Look out.
It's impressive. Yeah, if you're wondering what it is we're talking about, Patty Smith just came practically sashaying up towards the table, and she looks fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the sequin dress and everything. Yeah, it looks good. Thumbs up. Thumbs up, Patty Smith. Nice job. You know what? And you got me thinking with this, with the mentioning of O'Brien, is that the Astro fans that are going should actually maybe see if they could rent O'Brien for the weekend and bring him along as sort of a counter weapon. You know, here are the Dodger fans booing, hey. And then they bring along O'Brien, who can just scream, "You suck too!"
Hey, look here,
you suck too.
On a serious note,
I rent him for parties and bar mitzvahs.
There ain't no question. I've been around a lot of Parcells was really good at some things,
yeah.
And I tell you what, man, there's no doubt about it. Bill O'Brien can MF you with the best of them. Look, that is not a debate. Yeah. He is in the mix with some of the best in the business. So if you need an aggressive, violent response,
yeah.
I'll suggest renting Bill O'Brien.
Forget about
as well.
Renting Toro. I would rent O'Brien.
Yeah. No, look, it's not even the same. Yeah. We're not even talking in the same level there.
That would be great. Not the Toros. Nothing wrong with Toro. He's really good. But that's reaction number one. Here's the other thing that I thought was interesting. You see, I'm looking at a website here for a law firm. I'm not going to name the law firm because I don't want to give them a free live read. So I get paid to do live reads.
Groups have already hired their attorneys, huh?
Yeah, well, there's a law firm offering to represent Astro fans that feel disenfranchised by the team because of the lying and cheating of the sign-stealing scandal.
Oh, wow.
Houston Astro fans, the sign-stealing scandal refers to a series of incidents where members of the Astros baseball organization stole signs of opposing teams that violated MLB rules. This is unfair to paying fans, and compensation should be demanded. Clint, if you were an Astros season ticket holder, would you jump in on a class action lawsuit against the?
No, I would not. I mean, here's the deal:
it's so stupid.
It's foolish. It's one of those things where obviously somebody's trying to make a quick buck. Clearly, whatever they do on the other side of their law practice isn't consuming enough of their time or generating enough revenue to keep from silly stuff like this from happening.
Here's the thing. Here's their paragraph. This is their sales pitch. One paragraph. At law firm, we are dedicated to bringing the most powerful corporate entities to justice, and thanks to our established reputation, these corporations often agree to a settlement instead of facing us in trial. Basically, they're saying, we're so good at what we do, we'll just scare them into giving us money.
Yeah, we can get you a couple dollars.
Yeah, we'll get you a few bucks, yeah.
Yeah, I'm out on that deal, man. The one thing that I think is really cool, Sean, is that – and the one thing that none of this stuff, the scandal talk can take away what that World Series meant to this city, obviously right after Harvey. So, it's foolish if anybody gets involved in something like that.
Let me ask you a question that I put up as a Twitter poll this week. This came from a listener, actually. The guy's name is Jake, and he asked me this question. I said, this would be a good thing to put to the fans just to see. Think back to how you felt when they won the World Series in 2017.
Yeah.
Not how you may feel now about how it's been changed, but how you felt that night, right? You grew up in the Houston area,
yeah.
So you were thrilled as we all were, I'm sure,
no doubt.
That they won their first ever World Series championship. If they win in 2020... Do you think, and it's tough to quantify, it's a totally subjective thing, do you think the emotion and how good you feel about that 2020 title will exceed how you felt in 2017?
Yeah. Yeah, me personally, yes. And
you and 85% of the people that voted in the poll, seriously.
Yeah, no, I was fixing to say that the city as well. I mean, you're talking about a group, Sean, that we're already pretty proud and rightfully so, but if you go defend your team – or if you bite the bullet with the team at this point in time and they turn around and win a championship after being investigated, man, there'll be some peacocking going on in the city of Houston and his fan base for sure. And rightfully so, man. I think it would be special to experience. It'd be a lot of fun to experience. And given the fact that Altuve guaranteed a World Series,
yeah.
It may happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm already making the plans, the travel plans. I've made reservations at all National
yes.
League cities just in case.
Yes.
Yeah, it kind of hit me over the weekend. They're like, you know what? I'm jacked up for this 2020 season. Like, I spent last week going through probably all the stages of grief like we all did. The final stage of grief,
yeah.
Acceptance, or the final stage of dealing with grief is acceptance. I have acceptance with a sprinkling in of I want to tell everybody just to, you know, like all the other fan bases
yeah.
to go to hell,
yeah.
You know, after the 2020 World Series is over.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this season. And if they win the World Series, I will be so excited for this team because it's largely the same core group of guys.
Yeah.
The guys that matter on this team are the same guys that mattered in 2017. No disrespect to the Brian McCanns and the Evan Gattises and the Marwin Gonzalez's of the world. The guys that really matter on this team, we know who they are. They're Altuve, they're Springer, they're Bregman, they're Correa, they're Verlander. You know, Those are the guys who were the core guys 2 years ago.
Sean, I'm gonna be honest. In my mind, and maybe this is just my ability to not be attached to something and not be that degree of a fan, but I mean, sure, am I disappointed that Hinch let it go on? Am I disappointed that it happened? Sure. I mean, but I, in no way, shape, or form am I questioning where my loyalty lies as a fan. I mean, I'm an Astros fan. I grew up here. I'm not mad. I'm not surprised. I think, you know, doing radio with Wade Smith a lot lately. I mean, Wade mentioned that, hey, man, he is literally pounding the table about, man, it's baseball. Everybody's doing it. Then you got Jack McDowell come on and talk about in the 1980s it was going on with Tony La Russa.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, so those are the I still don't agree with it. I still think it's BS that somebody would try to gain that advantage electronically, but there is some truth behind what Wade's speaking as far as, man, it's baseball. They tweak things. They push the envelope a lot more than other leagues are able to do, and this is just one more example. I'm not mad at the Astros. I'm a little bit disappointed at some of the things that went on, but, man, I think this city, for the most part, they ain't going nowhere. The Astros fans are as heavy and on the wagon as they've ever been.
I thought Seth put it really well this morning, and he compared it to the relationship that a parent has with its kids. The love's unconditional, and I think it's – and that sounds – I get it. It sounds over the top to compare, but – within the realm of sports, everybody, I think, hopefully if you're listening, you can understand that, a relationship between a parent and a child, there's more to it than a fan and a sport and a sports team. But I do think there is an inextricable link between a fan. If you're a true diehard fan of a sports team, it's really hard to have even something like that undo your fandom. You know what I mean? Like it's and the comparison Seth made, which I thought was good, was when your kids make mistakes and they screw up, you don't disown them.
Yeah.
You know, some people might, but good parents don't. And I think good sports fans don't disown
Sean,
their team.
Especially,
like you said, in a sport like baseball.
Yeah.
Are you going to disown your team for cheating in baseball?
Sean, this is 2020, man. I mean,
it's like disowning your kid for drinking in a bar. what else are they doing in a bar?
But, Sean, this is 2020. Not only do I think that's silly, right, to think that. I mean, I think this is a time that will – increase the popularity of the Astros. I think it'll increase the revenue that this business side of the Houston Astros is able to generate. I think it improves the experience that you can go to Minute Maid Park today or this year and have. As strange as that sounds, in 2020, this kind of thing means more money, means more revenue, it means more attention, it means more excitement. And it means more appeal for us to go to the game, get up and go to the game.
Well, because you're backing your team.
Yeah.
You know, I wish they hadn't done it, obviously. But I'll say this, two things. One, they did raise more money at their gala than they've ever raised. So I jokingly said over the weekend, look, sign stealing is generating money for charity.
Right.
It's all good.
Right.
But that is a fact. The big kahunas are that are a big enough season ticket holder or sponsor to go to an event like that, they're still donating enough money to break a record at their Diamond Gala. Number two, and this is something I want to go look up, and I may need to reach out to somebody who's with one of those ticket broker companies like a SeatGeek.
Yeah.
I would be willing to bet that Astro tickets on the road, especially in cities that are wronged by – that feel like they've been wronged by this, New York, anybody that the Astros have played in the postseason, I would venture to say that the price of tickets for the Astros coming to town – have shot up since this whole punishment came out. That it costs more now to go to an Astros game in Yankee Stadium next year.
Yes.
Or say I say Fenway. The Red Sox are just as bad as the Astros. But whoever, you know, they played Cleveland in the postseason 1 year and beat them. Any city like that that's been in the path of the Astros during this last few years, that it costs more, I guarantee you, it costs more now to go to a game in those cities than it did 2 weeks ago.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt, and people are chomping at the bit to get the opportunity to go to those particular games. Sean, this is – I mean, think about it, man. This is like Deflategate.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like one of the – I mean, and I'm sure we've made that point before, but I'm just thinking out loud of, like, that was a former champion that got caught red-handed and got penalized, and moving forward, it's – the tickets are sold out. the hype around that organization is everywhere they go on the road is more than it's ever been, right? I mean, I know they won a bunch of championships along the way,
yeah.
But it's the same idea. Is man, in 2020, all media, all publicity is good publicity in one way, shape, or form. If it makes dollars, it makes sense, brother. Yeah. The Astros will be hotter than they've ever been this season.
All right, I'm told that Jerry Jones is going to be by at 4:40.
Cool.
So that'll be in the next hour. He is here tonight. We're at the Houston Sports Awards, if you're just tuning in. Sean Pendergast, Clint Stern. If you're wondering, I haven't been moved back to afternoons. I'm just out here doing some radio with my buddy Clint today at one of the biggest events of the year. It was an honor for me to come out here and do this today. So we're chopping it up out here. We expect to have a lot of guests along the way in the final couple hours, including, as I mentioned, Jerry Jones. He's in town to present the McNair family with the Lifetime Achievement Award for their late patriarch, Bob McNair. So it's going to be a big night here for the Texans. And Jerry Jones is at the Senior Bowl. He's flying in privately from Mobile, Alabama, doing this, and then flying back tonight to Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah.
So, as you know from having worked for the man, he lets very little grass grow underneath his feet.
Yeah, no, look, that jet, I'd wonder what the jet fuel and the tab for that jet he's flying all over the car. I bet he's got four of them. But nonetheless, yeah, I mean, he's going to be involved. You talk about Jerry being involved. He's going to be involved to the point of, hell, he's at the Senior Bowl. People think that he's just involved to the standpoint of being at practice and being around when the cameras are around and when the games are being played. I mean, this dude's hustling consistently, and being at the Senior Bowl, what owner wants to go to the Senior Bowl?
Well, he's the owner / general manager, so he's
involved
in personnel.
Yeah, I mean, I get why, but you think he really is? He would rather be there. I mean, he just grinds is all he does.
Well, to answer your question, and you obviously know the man a million times better than I do. He strikes me as somebody who loves all the little steps that go into building a football team.
Well, I think Jerry's a former player. I think Jerry loves the being on the field, grass under his feet. I think there's no doubt about it. Jerry's got Will McClay in Dallas as a GM. Will is as good as there is in the business right now. It'd be very easy for Jerry, if he wanted to go, hey, Will, and they got a long-term relationship. Hey, Will, why don't you ease over to that Senior Bowl and tell me what you see, brother, and give me your top 10. I'm going to fly in one day and take a peek at him. Nah, he's over there with the coaches.
Yeah.
He's over there with the players. He's over there
it.
Breaking good bread. I think that genuinely and sincerely is what he enjoys doing.
Yes. Yeah, that's I 100% agree. You still owe the hosts in Kansas City some barbecue.
I do.
That I do know.
I got to shoot them some barbecue. I need a little help.
Because you bet them barbecue last week, right, on the game?
I think Jeremy Branham actually opened his mouth, and I backed him. I co-signed it. I think I co-signed it. So, yeah, I mean, I'll step up and send them what I need. The question is what? I'm not a huge – to be honest, I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I'm a breakfast taco. I'm a fajita guy more than I am a barbecue guy.
Yeah.
Mexican food guy more than I'm a barbecue guy. So I probably need a little bit of help of pinpointing exactly what barbecue I need to send their direction.
Yeah, I think a lot of people immediately think of Killen's Barbecue in town.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that's the one that probably – and then it's really good. It's in Pearland. Amy and I go there quite a bit. It's very tasty. Pappas Barbecue. I like Hickory Hollow.
Hickory Hollow.
Yep. Yanni Damaris is a close friend of mine. Damaris Barbecue is really good. There's a lot of places you can go to.
You're not narrowing it down for me, though.
No,
Sean.
No. Well, I may narrow it down off the air so as to not offend any of these various barbecue places, because I like to frequent all of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's good. So Jeremy got you in a little bit of trouble. Just know that as you and I co-host today, I think I'll make it through the rest of the show without making any wagers that I'm going to ask you to.
Oh yeah,
to pony up on, but just when I do, it usually involves money, not barbecue.
Well, look here. Here's the deal. If you do and you end up owing me something, I'll never go broke if you owe me, baby.
Well, yeah, you know where to find me.
That's right.
Yeah, you know where to find me. All right, we're live at the Houston Sports Awards presented by Insperity. The Texans ouster from the playoffs has not hurt the marketability of one of their biggest stars, and we have maybe the biggest indicator of that you can possibly have in television. We'll tell you what it is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.